Brunn had no intention of staying safely at home on the family's estates. They knew who had poisoned Lady Cecilia. They had figured out that the prince had also been slowly poisoned, and that the same method had been used on George for a short time. She and Ronnie and George were ready the moment Buttons and Sarah arrived to do battle with the minions of evil.
Whoa! You haven't thought it all out.
What's to think? The woman's a menace. She poisoned me, and then the prince, and then Lady Cecilia, and maybe a dozen others.
Why?
Why? I guess, she likes poisoning people.
George, you're sounding about as intelligent as you did in your bad term. I have some missing links you'd better add to your chain of evidence. You mentioned Gerald being excited after visits from his brothers. Do you remember any more?
No.
Button stood and paced around the big library.
I do. It annoys all of you when I remind you I'm older, but it matters. You were in school with each other and Gerald. I was in school with Gerald's older brother, Nadril.
Who was killed in a duel? We know that.
Shut up, Ronnie. That's only part of it. Because I was his friend, I got to know the oldest. And don't bother to tell me you know Gerald had been accepted as successor by the Grand Council. That happened our last year in school. It was terribly exciting, and I got to attend with Nadril. But what I didn't know, because Gerard had said I was too stuffy and priggish and would spill the beans, was that Gerard had been groomed by some of the Familius to head a rebellion. Nodrell knew, of course, and they dragged in Poyong Gerald, who worshipped his oldest brother. And it was Gerald who spilled the beans. To you, George.
George looked stunned, as if a rock had landed on his head.
I don't remember.
No, you wouldn't if they drugged you. I don't suppose you told anyone intentionally. You had a certain innate cunning even then. But your father got wind of it, and he told the king. That assassination.
The king killed his own son?
No, nor ordered it. But one of the other familiars felt it had to be done. No one knew how far the plot had gone. The military was on alert for months. Nadril was a problem. Bitter and violent. I couldn't swear his duel was spontaneous.
And Gerald?
I would guess. I knew nothing about it until you told me this. I would guess the king wanted to be sure Gerald could not be the same kind of threat. Perhaps you, George, were the experimental subject to prove the effects reversible. Then Gerald. I would like to believe the king meant no harm by it.
No harm? Poor Gerald, everyone thinking him a fool, and then Lady Cecilia being poisoned, and Sarah shot.
I didn't say there was no harm, only that he may not have intended it. If Lorenzo was the king's arm in this, she may have done more than he knew.
Then it's Lorenzo we have to stop. Now! What if she attacks my mother, thinking I might have said something to her, or George's parents?
Ronnie, we can't simply walk in and seize her. She's a Crown Minister's sister. Another complication, because I, for one, have no idea how much influence she has with him, or he with the king, for that matter. She's got a vote in the Grand Council in her own right. We have no legal standing.
Tell my father. I'll call him.
George, will you listen? Your father's already involved. So is ours. They filed a question. But none of us can grab Lorenzo. We have no evidence. We need Lady Cecilia alive and well, her competency completely restored so that she can testify. We need the prince alive and well. And both of them are a long way away with a lot of things that can go wrong. Less will go wrong if we all act discreetly.
Then you didn't need my warning at all. You already knew about Lorenza, and I could have stayed with Lady Cecilia.
No, we didn't know about Lorenza. We knew it had to be someone, but we didn't know who. And that's important. We can't afford to lose anyone. So I want you all to agree to stay calm and follow orders.
Whose?
Mine for now, and Dad's when he gets here. George's father will tell him the same. Now, will you use sense and act like the adults you are?
Cecilia looked around the main lounge of her yacht with distaste.
I thought the lavender plush was bad, but I have to admit this is worse. Though I must say I'm glad to see it, really see it. Show me everything.
Harris glanced at Petrus, now their new environmental section head and assistant.
Everything, m'lady?
Every bit of it. I'll be thinking how lovely it will look when Space Enhance has finished with it.
She looked from one to the other of them.
Come on, what are you waiting for?
Well, we have this little problem.
Harris led her down the streaked grayish walls, wondering how Cecilia was going to react when she saw them. She opened the door to the Ponics section. Stacks of mesh cages held an ever-increasing number of cockroaches, filling the air in that compartment with an odd, heavy smell.
This.
What on... they're alive!
Yes, and I don't want you mentioning this to the medical teams either.
Where did they come from?
Space Enhance.
The decorators? They put cockroaches on my ship! On my ship!
We think they put cockroaches on everyone's ship. To eat the old wall covering and carpeting and the adhesives. Illegal, of course. A trade secret, no doubt. We thought we might need to deal in trade secrets, so we trapped the ones we found and let them breed.
Cecilia leaned forward to look at the nearest cage.
But what did they do with the cockroaches after they ate the stuff?
We think, mind, this is only our speculation, that they converted the cockroaches into a sort of organic slurry, which could then be extruded into fiber or other shapes to make carpets or wall coverings.
You mean they put ground-up cockroaches on people's floors, walls? You mean that horrible lavender plush was really nothing but ground-up cockroaches?
Quite possibly. Of course, they would have dyed them. That's why they're white, I'm sure. And they may have added other materials.
Cecilia stepped back.
I have never imagined anything so disgusting.
Paris grinned at Petrus.
There is something worse.
What?
When they're loose and you haven't noticed them in the sheets.
It's not funny. Or, I suppose it is, but... Oh my! Have we got an upper hand here?
That's what I thought. Of course, we're now in violation of half a dozen regulations ourselves, but we've been careful. I would prefer, however, that Commander Levati's people not know about the live ones.
Oh, absolutely. But I suspect that restocking my solarium with miniatures will be well within my budget.
From that beginning, the trip back to Rockhouse Major went smoothly. Harris made the rendezvous with Levati's Marline Scolare, and his pinnace picked up the medical teams. Harris had braced herself for questions about the clones, but the medical teams were so excited about the new technologies they'd discovered in those few days on the station that they could talk of nothing else. Levati asked, of course. Harris was glad she and Cecilia had worked out an answer that was not exactly a lie.
I left the clones behind. Neither of them was the prince. As you know, one was killed in the shooting, and tissue analysis at autopsy could neither prove nor disprove that that one was the prince. Perhaps post-mortem degradation...
Or perhaps he's off in a bar somewhere making an idiot of himself. I wonder if the king knows how many doubles he had.
We may never know. What's the latest on the uproar?
Not quite civil war. Fleet's on standby, all the family delegates are gathering for an emergency session, and rumor has it the king is considering abdication. The benignity has filed complaints and threatens to take action if we don't pay reparations for their two cruisers, which have somehow grown to dreadnoughts. Athar's world decided that this was a great time to try a little piracy. Oh yes, and the station master at Rotterdam says to tell Lady Cecilia that the Black Mare has foaled. Anything else?
No, thank you. What about the fleet and us?
You personally, or you and Lady Cecilia's yacht?
Either or both.
Well, I've had strong representations from senior familias that my neck is in the noose if Lady Cecilia doesn't get back safely. How is she, by the way?
Quite able to take up her duties.
Good. And I've had strong pressure from some elements in the fleet that your permanent disappearance would just about guarantee my first star, while others say the opposite. I would suggest the fastest possible course, and I suggest you allow me to escort you in.
I accept both suggestions.
Harris was not entirely sure of him in all respects, but if he wanted her dead, it would have been easy enough to leave her in compassionate hand space without help. The Familius Grand Council met in a domed hall. High above, painted stars on pale blue echoed the carpet of deep blue patterned with gold stars. Each family had its table. Each voting member had his or her chair. On the north wall, opposite the entrance doors, the speaker's bench had become the king's throne, and the king, wearing his usual black suit, sat there behind a desk with its crystal pitcher of water, its goblets, its display screens, and the gold-rimmed gavel. For an hour now, the members had streamed in past uniformed guards and weapons checks and more guards and more weapons checks. The lines extended across the lobby, out the tall front doors, down the steps, to the sidewalk, where yet more limousines disgorged yet more members. A light rain brushed the steps with one slick layer after another, and those who had not expected a wait got damp and grumpy. Cecilia watched her sister and brother-in-law climb up the steps. She, Harris, Mahari, and Janice were part of a thin crowd held back by a chain attached to a movable post. From the chain, a little tin sign dangled with the words, "Members only past this point." Across from them, on the far side of the entrance steps, another such chain restrained another small clump of observers.
When are you going?
After Lorenza. I want to be sure she's here.
What if she doesn't attend?
Oh, she will. She may not take her own chair, but she always attends her brother. There. That's theirs.
Cecilia started to look down, then remembered she didn't look anything like the Cecilia Lorenzo would recognize. They had docked the yacht over on Rockhouse Minor, where Bunny's shuttle retrieved them. There would have been gossip, of course, but Livati, at Harris's suggestion, had docked at the fleet terminal at Rockhouse Major and complained loudly to his fellow officers that that bitch Serrano had disappeared again. Cecilia watched as the portly Crown Minister climbed out and offered his arm to Lorenza. She, at least, had prepared for a wait in a pretty ice-blue raincoat. Piercy had an umbrella. Cecilia felt her lip curling.
If you can't stand a bit of rain, then carry a personal shield, not an ostentatious umbrella. That's carrying the fashion for antiquity too far.
Piercy held the umbrella over Lorenza's head. She looked out from under it with cat-like smugness. Cecilia realized she was trembling only when Harris touched her hand. Rage filled her. She could hear that voice whispering in her ear.
How did I not know who it was? How do I not leap over the chain and strangle that smug little trap?
Lorenza looked around as if for admiration. Cecilia stood straight, watching her. Their eyes met. Lorenza frowned a little, shook her head minutely, and went on up the steps to the tail of the line. Half a dozen more members got in line. Cecilia shifted her feet.
Let's go.
It's too close. She'll see you. She'll start trying to remember.
Let her!
Cecilia was shaking as if before a race. Harris gripped her hand.
Milady, we're with you. You have allies, you know that. Don't let her shake your resolution. Even if she does look like a drowned rat in that raincoat.
All right, but not much longer.
No, not much longer.
They waited until Lorenza and her brother were near the top of the steps, when the guards at the door recognized them and swept them inside ahead of the others.
Now.
They stepped around the barrier, and Cecilia clipped her member badge to her coat. The others put on the ID tags Bunny had arranged. Members could bring their personal assistants as long as none carried weapons. Harris wasn't worried. Mahari and Janice were weapons. Most of the delegates had arrived. The line moved faster.